success for me is a moment by moment. I think being fully present with whatever is going on in the immediate moment is really like success, right? Like being fully at peace with and fully accepting and at the highest level in kind of full surrender to what's so, to reality, and to be integrated in that and to feel, like I say, at peace and holistic within that, to me is as good as I know that I can do right now at this point in my life.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further.
Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I hope that woke you up this morning. This is Yona Weiss, your host, as always. And with me today, I got Tate Seymour, all the way from the beautiful state of Utah. What's going on, Tate?
Dude, what a great way to start the day. Hanging out with Yona Weiss. It doesn't get any better.
I'm sure you've done a few things better than that, but no.
I don't know, man. This is pretty special.
This is awesome.
Pretty special. Yeah.
I'm excited to speak with you, Tate, just to give our audience a little background, maybe a little bit about you. You're our real estate investor, like pretty much everyone else that's been on this podcast. So that's pretty straightforward there. Tate has a company called Greenlight Equity Group. They're a multifamily investment company focusing on specifically the Oklahoma City markets, Columbus, Ohio. Do invest also locally in Utah, correct?
Yep. We do have some property in Utah, but mostly Columbus and Oklahoma City, like you said.
Awesome. And what I love about Tate, he's got an incredible, I mean, one of the things I love is we had one of his partners on the show not too long ago, Chelsea Garber, who has an incredible aspect that she brings to your company, which is this design aspect and the ability to kind of add value in ways that many others don't to that extent. Yep. So that's really cool. I'd love to kind of get into that. And besides for that, he's also the host of an incredible podcast, Apartment Guys. That's the name, right?
Apartment Guys. Yep.
Apartment Guys. So this guy right here was on the Apartment Guys podcast.
<That's right. laughs>
So make sure to check that out. We'll put the link to that show and everything else you want to know about Tate in our show notes. But without further ado, you know, tell me a little bit about how you got started in real estate. You weren't always a real estate investor, right?
No. Quick background biopic, if you will, on me. I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, at East Side suburbs, went to all guys Catholic high school in Cincinnati. And I don't know if that's for better or for worse at the end of the day, but I think it was for better. I got a good education, if nothing else, but I went to school in Ohio and then decided to chase a dream to ski out west in the Rockies and moved to Utah in 1999 and became a professional photographer, which was kind of in my roots anyway. I studied fine art photography in college and had a dark room growing up. And so was a ski photographer for about 10 years out on the mountain shooting skiers and did a lot of weddings and a lot of families and a lot of couples and formal portrait photography work. And about 5 years into that venture, like doing it real hard and heavy and kind of with as much passion as I had at the time and really loving it, I did come to realize that in the environment that we were in, which was going digital and or had gone digital at the time, it was going to be a really tough paycheck for me to get to the kind of the lifestyle that I wanted to live, the level that I wanted to live. And so I was in the basement of a friend one day who I was talking to his roommate, and he was doing this thing called flipping, which I'd never heard of. And he was doing it with a triplex, which
like gymnastics.
Yeah, exactly. You're flipping a triplex? Like, dude, what does that mean? Tell me more about that. So long story short, he was in a investor class that was kind of investing 101 here in Utah and was learning and partnering through that course and getting deals done. And so I never really considered real estate investing. It was my very first exposure to real estate at all, pretty much. I didn't have any entrepreneurial influences to speak of, at least in the real estate world in my background. So I really immersed myself and dove headfirst into this class and started flipping some houses myself, became a realtor, really got into the single family game. Then the crash happened and in 08, and I never really had hit a stride with single family. I loved the game. I loved the entrepreneurship, but I hadn't really found the vehicle that I loved yet. And so when the crash happened, I went back to photography for a bit. And then my best friend and my longtime boss and partner, Carl York, who's still my partner, my second of three partners, Carl York. And he looked at me one day, we were working together doing some photography stuff, and said, "Dude, let's start flipping some houses." And I'm like, "Oh man, come on. Like real estate again? Like
you can do nobody. That."
Yeah. Like, okay. So anyway, long story short, 2 months later, we're flipping a house and we really like dove in again and felt like the best way to do it was kind of one house at a time and put all our resources, all the funds we had ourselves, all the time we had ourselves into 1, 2, maybe 3 houses and try to scale that way. And that's just not a recipe for success at the level that I'm committed to having. So that's our background. And about 4 years ago, we made the shift into 3 different asset classes, multifamily, small apartments, new build. We built some million-dollar townhomes in downtown Salt Lake City, and land entitlement deals where we were buying raw land and entitling them for townhome projects. And some of those projects went well, and a couple of them, namely the townhomes, did not go well. And we were really handed a kind of a kick in the butt by the universe for getting that far out of our lane, so to speak. I think at the end of the day, we tried something that we weren't really qualified to try yet in the way of development and being builders, but the multifamily projects went really well. And they were we were very, very blessed to have one in particular come along and be presented to us by a wholesaler that said, "This is a really interesting, good deal with that's solid. It's like, you guys will make money on this deal. You should do it. And here's how you should do it."
Right.
That was our intro into apartments and into this whole game. So, and that was about 3.5 years ago at this point,
okay. I guess. So now you've grown older and wiser.
Yes. Yeah. I like to think so, Yona, but I think in all sincerity, I think we've grown a lot wiser in that we're now investing in this asset class that has so many advantages that you talk about all the time on the show and we talk about a lot and is really like recession resistant and inflation resistant. It's a good hedge against inflation. And there's just so many, you know, the tax benefits and all the things that go into making this such a great win for lots of people. And the syndication process makes it attainable for so many people now to be in on this game and be a part of it. So it's super exciting. We've transformed our business. We created Greenlight about 3.5 years ago is when we branded Greenlight. We had been calling ourselves a development company for a long time, and we're certainly not that anymore.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's, I think what you just shared speaks to the experience, but a lot of people think that they can just jump in to maybe what you're doing now, which is large, you know, 100+ unit multifamily properties. Okay. Some smaller, but predominantly, you know, larger 100+ unit multifamily properties where, like you said, they're very stable economy, you know, resistant or, you know, recession resistant in a lot of ways. And are providing, you know, great returns to yourself, to investors. You learned about that the hard way, you know, and for a lot of folks out there think they can really just, you know, jump in, you know, all hands on deck into some of these larger asset classes. Well, you know, here's Tate telling you, listen, he learned the hard way. Going back, had you known then what you know now, do you think you would have, you know, put yourself through all of the headaches and all of the, you know, challenges that you went through, you know, didn't go straight into larger multifamily, like a lot of people are doing now?
I think there's like a spiritual answer to that and a business answer to that.
Right. So I totally get that. And I obviously like, I relate to the spiritual one very much.
Me too. So the spiritual answer is I wouldn't change a thing because it's made me who I am. And there were some particular painful parts of the new build townhome process that really shaped me because they forced me to choose between, do I live in a world where things work out for me in the long run and that ultimately the universe or God has my back? And yes, I have evidence for that throughout the 48 years of my life. I've seen things work out for me overwhelmingly. And so I chose to walk in faith, not to get religious at all, because to me, it was a decision about more about the nature of reality, that I know that this is going to work out somehow. And I don't know how right now, because I have just a limited perspective. That's all. And so I will always look at that kind of compressed, like 2-year period mm-hmm. of doing those projects as incredibly important in my personal and professional development. That said, I think knowing what I know now on a business level, on strictly a strategic level, that I could go back and coach myself and say, dude, here's some mentorship options for you. Here's some coaching program options for you. There's partners out there that you just haven't met yet. Here's ways of meeting them. And you can scale faster. You mm-hmm. don't have to go step by step through the single family into duplexes, fourplexes, and up from there. And a lot of people do that because it's a logical way to go, right? And it's linear, right? And it makes it, there's things about it that make a lot of sense. That said, the multifamily space is quite different than the single family space. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of skill set and knowledge base that does translate. And there's quite a bit that doesn't translate, in my opinion. In other words, there's a lot of specialized knowledge that you got to get by doing specifically commercial deals. And the best way to do that is just to do them. So,
right.
You know, I'm a big proponent of going big and really expanding your thinking to going as big as you feel comfortable thinking even. So,
yeah, a lot of times we're not a lot, and I speak to myself included, a lot of us don't even know what we don't know, you know, and you talk about how your mind can expand to grow, but oftentimes, yeah. Like unless you're challenged beyond your limits, you don't even know, like, you know, shoot for the stars, you'll hit the moon kind of thing. You don't really know what you're capable of. You do a lot of coaching now as well, right?
I don't do any formal coaching right now, not yet. It's something I definitely I see in my future. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but whether I'll join a program, somebody else's team, or whether I'll kind of start my own thing or whatnot. Employ a coach.
You have a coach. Okay.
Coach. Yeah. And it's been a huge part of this year. I mean, in the last 18 months, we've gone from owning zero doors to owning 572 doors and operating them in seven different communities between Utah, Ohio, and Oklahoma. And a huge part of that, I mean, obviously it's been a massive year. It's like a transformative quantum leap kind of year. And a huge part of that for me has been having a coach in my corner all the time, really speaking to me and to my highest and best and coaching me from the perspective of somebody that is committed to me getting what I want and getting to where I want to be and getting our company to where I want our company to be. But, you know, in a lot of ways too, I feel like we're just getting started. Like,
right.
We're creating a new vivid vision for our company that I'm super excited about, the new 3-year vision. And it's going to be so exciting, so transformative.
That's awesome. I mean, it shows. I mean, I've kind of watched the journey. You said, you know, past 18 months or so, I think we've been connected for at least that amount of time and kind of seeing the process and seeing you guys, you know, collaboration with Chelsea and doing things that are really smart. I mean, to be honest, I think it goes underappreciated by a lot of sponsors out there. I mean, and I deal with, you know, just in the business that I run, hundreds of syndicators, and I see a lot of nuances among them, right? And it's all objective, right? I'm looking from my perspective, but it gives me personally a great perspective to see, you know, what I'm looking for in a good operator, what I'm looking for in good deals, what I'm looking for, you know, in these markets or in, but one thing, like I said earlier on, that really kind of stands out is when you're talking about these value adds, and we had Chelsea present to our Wednesday night group a few months ago, and she talked about the specifics of, you know, catering to that curb appeal, catering to, you know, things that the tenants are really want more so than what you think they want.
Yeah.
And that really has to do with, you know, getting a feel and going into these communities and understanding them. You know, it's not like, oh, I pick this market because it's a great market and it, you know, yada, yada. But no, you got to go down there. You got to meet the people. You got to get to know what that market is looking for. It may be different from Oklahoma City to Columbus, right? I mean, you are focused in those two markets, but they, I'm sure they have a lot of differences. Would that be fair? Yeah,
absolutely. There's not so subtle differences between the two markets for sure. And I just want to actually just touch on Chelsea real quick, because I think there's a pretty cool takeaway from the story of Chelsea joining Greenlight and how that all happened. But I went to Dealmaker Live in 2019, Michael Blanc's event in Dallas, and Chelsea and I were both kind of geeking out over Joe Fairless and like hanging out with him and talking to him and picking his brain, so to speak. I hate that phrase, but we were schmoozing and met each other and basically became friends and stayed in touch. And just the power of social networking and good communication and being authentic, Chelsea was starting to think about moving out west and was living in New York City at the time and working kind of both coasts and wanted to get to the mountains. And long story short, I kind of swayed her into looking at Utah and she ended up moving here. And then we started doing deals together and it was such a great organic fit on so many levels. And so it's become just a very, like, we've hardly had to discuss so far between Carl and me bringing Chelsea on board, because she's just kind of, she's made us so much better. And it's one of these situations that the sum of the parts is so great. The whole is fantastic. And she brings that, what you were talking about, that market knowledge and understanding the nuances of communities, and particularly, you know, Class C workforce level housing kind of needs a special touch. It needs a level of care that most people don't really give it,
right?
Especially aesthetically. And, you know, like thinking about, like, are the fonts on this sign that we just put together, are they, do they speak to a fresh vibe and a, you know, a place that I'd want to go home to, and something that's clean and new and all that stuff. And Chelsea really gets that. And she understands Oklahoma City and can speak to Oklahoma City better than anybody I know, including all the brokers there. And so obviously Carl and I both are and feel very, very fortunate. And it's really, to me, a lesson in, like, go to these conferences, because you never know what's going to happen. And it seems to me, especially these conferences, like the 2-day conference, these 2-day events, are particularly ripe with opportunity and people that are really taking big action and are ready to take big action.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, you talk about being at the Dealmaker Live and spending a lot of time. To me, it's kind of, it's just, I totally agree. I love to go to these conferences. I spend a lot of time out there and just meeting people, and it's incredible for me. But I have a little bit of a different take on it. And it's more difficult for me to spend a lot of time with people, I think, more because specifically I'm personally, like, bombarded a lot of time just meeting people. But, you know, you kind of gravitate. And I think recognizing, you know, there is kind of a higher power that is maybe guiding you. And the fact that you, you know, wind up sitting at a table or next to or bumping into, you know, someone, like, there's a reason for that. And I'm a firm believer in that. And so where you sit down, you know, I plopped down on a chair at Jake and Gino, like, in the back of the room. I wasn't even looking, like, who was sitting there. And lo and behold, I'm sitting right next to, like, you know, one of my clients. I was like, whoa, I literally didn't even see him there. And then we got to talking and spent a little more time together, you know, and talking about potentially maybe doing a deal together. And that was something that never would have happened. First of all, if I had never gone to the conference, second of all, you know, if higher powers had not, like, sat me down in that specific chair in a room full of 800, you know, 1,000 chairs, that was the chair that I just sat in. And I think there's a lot to be said in that.
I love that. I love when stuff like that happens. And to me, it happens a lot, like, in my world, in our world, like, in our circle, you see things like that happen a lot. And partnerships really do. That's where stuff happens, right? Is in this world, it's really in the world of teamwork and partnership. And so that's where so many options and opportunities lie, or in relationships with other people. But it doesn't surprise me that you get bombarded, Yona. You're a celebrity for sure. I'm not that status even close, so I can't relate, but I felt lucky to get my own little 30-second moment with you at Jake and Gino last month. And
yeah, and I wish we could have spent a little more time together. I really do.
Yeah,
it was just kind of in passing right there. But
sure was, yeah. It was a hectic event and very crowded. But yeah, so overall, just back to the blessing of partnership, you know, mm-hmm. it's such a key place where so many important things happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about your podcast, The Apartment Guys, yeah. right? The Apartment Guys. Where is the, you know, and maybe you've spoken about it on your show before, but where did the premise for that podcast come from, and how do you see it, you know, growing now?
It's evolving quickly right now. And I'm going to actually share a couple things with you that I haven't shared with anybody except for Chelsea. And I anticipate a probable name change for the podcast. It originally was conceived with a friend of mine and who was in a mastermind with me. And I love him. His name's John Prince. He's a fantastic human being and has been a great partner. And when we started the podcast, I didn't realize this was going to happen for me, but I kind of fell in love with it. And like, really wanted to have kind of creative control, I guess, just to be straight and real. And I was actually doing kind of all the work as far as like designing the logo and coming up with the intro and the conceptual stuff and inviting guests and, you know, doing all the things. Right. And I just needed it to be mine at the end of the day. And he understood, he kind of saw where things were headed in that direction. But so the name never got changed. And the reality is that Chelsea is going to be more part of the podcast moving forward.
Nice.
And we're going to be adding a second weekly edition. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud on the air, but this won't air for a couple months.
So you're okay. You're good, at least until then.
By then it'll happen, because I think we'll do it by the beginning of the year. But so we're going to do a kind of a shorter kind of conversational based episode between Chelsea and myself, usually about just kind of points of interest and value, as much value add as we can bring to the listeners in a more like a 7 to 12 minute format.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense, because podcasts, and I feel this way with Weiss Advice as well. You know, you have to go with the flow. You have to see where's an opportunity to change and, you know, not only see what you want, but what do the listeners want. And if you want to change the format, like I was sometimes doing longer shows, you know, doing half an hour now. And before that I was releasing like one episode a week. Then I changed like 3 episodes a week. Now I'm kind of at 2 episodes. You're just kind of feeling the balance and also what your workload is, because it, like you said, it does take time, especially if you're the one that's spending the time, you know, not just interviewing or recording, but any kind of back office, right, or editing or promoting, right, or any of that stuff. There, it's a job. It really is. And I always say, only do a podcast if you really love it, right? People ask me, a good friend of mine literally just asked me yesterday, he's like, I really want to start a podcast. So I sent him some materials like how to start a podcast, right? Some great stuff out there. I actually did an interview with Adam Carswell like a couple of years ago about how to start a podcast. And when I sent him that, I said, listen, but don't start a podcast unless you really love it. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you don't love it, then it's just going to be a burden. It's going to be another thing you have to do.
Yeah.
So find people that can do the editing, you know, find people that can take some of those things off your plate if those are things you don't like. And if you really, truly love the interviewing, the whole, you know, just this, what we're doing right now, I love this, then do it. But if not, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. That said, for me, what my podcast adventure was pointed out to me was sometimes you don't know if you're going to love something until you try it. And that was truly the case with this for me. Like I'm great. I was just sitting here thinking how grateful I am to John, because he kind of gave me the courage to do it without having the knowledge that I was going to love it. Right. And it wasn't until I got into it and started having these high level discussions with people like in this sort of arena that I realized what an incredible, unique opportunity it was to really connect with people individually and then connect with an audience. I just had no idea how much I was going to love it. So it's life is kind of, you know, navigating through life and making some of these choices and some of these decisions can be very nuanced, and you need to be artful about it in a way, I think. And I also, I'm a big believer in being guided, you know, whether it's angelic or spiritual or, you know, however you want to look at it. Like having somebody there to kind of help me kick it off and also have the understanding of like, okay, yeah, that you love it and you want to take it and run with it. That's cool. Let's, you know, go for it. And that's grace and it's a real gift. So
100%.
Yeah. But I would also agree that, and I'll just reiterate one of the things that you said is I can't imagine doing the podcast and then doing all the back end, the editing and show notes and everything else that go along with getting it out on the back end. So I've got, you know, I've got good references for people. I'm sure you do too, that can help you with that. And that's not a burden, you know, right. Really all you want to be doing is recruiting good guests, booking those guests, doing the interviews and doing some research beforehand, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then passing that off and having your production company really like produce everything from your Facebook posts, LinkedIn, updating websites, getting maybe an automated email out to your email list, all those things that go right. along with good promotion.
Absolutely. And before we jump to the final four, I'll just give a shout out to Streamline Podcasts, who does my work for me. You guys are awesome. They're listening to this right now because they're editing this. So thank you. If you're thinking of starting a podcast, reach out to me for a promo code. Okay, we'll get into that another time, but let's jump right into what we call the final four, Tate. What is the worst job that you ever had?
The worst job I ever had was, are you familiar with these outdoor concert venues where like the big bands, like Dave Matthews Band, like sure. the big, huge bands play?
Red Rocks.
Perfect example. So outside of Cincinnati, there's an amphitheater like that with a huge lawn that everybody parties in. When I was 14 years old, I was the janitor that came in the next morning and cleaned up that lawn. It was terrible. It was disgusting, man. I mean, like, yeah, the That's stuff disgusting. We'd find. And I mean, we'd find a lot of money, actually. But other than that, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
No, I'll just say that.
That's horrible. I can't even imagine what something like that would look like.
That was terrible.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is terrible. Second question, what's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
On a personal level, my favorite book ever is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. I think it's a fantastic look into leading a very holistic spiritual life that is robust and healthy and is about freedom for your soul and, you know, for ultimate freedom to be who you are in connection with your source, whatever that means to you. Mm-hmm. So I've given that book to probably 30 people in my life. Probably 5 or 6 ex-girlfriends have it. one of my favorites. Yeah.
Trick is giving it to a new girlfriend before.
That's right.
The right time.
The right one, right?
Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for mentioning that. We'll put a link to that in the show notes for anyone who wants to check that book out. Third question, what's a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
I'd like to really get good at speaking Spanish. It's something that's kind of long overdue in my life. I took 6 years of it in high school and college, but I never immersed myself in a culture or in a, mm-hmm. in a social environment that I needed to speak it. So I never really learned it. So I'm actually going to Mexico in about 9 days. Going to be down there for a week by myself in Sayulita, which is a little surf town north of Puerto Vallarta, and going to kind of start hacking away at some Spanish skills, I guess. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look forward to the report back. I'm sure we'll get some pictures on the socials from the surfing trip, but that'll be awesome. Yeah. That's really the only way to immerse yourself to learn a new language. So, and because you have the background, I'm sure it'll be much easier. But fourth and final question, Tate, what does success mean to you?
Yeah, I think success for me is a moment by moment. I think being fully present with whatever is going on in the immediate moment is really like success, right? Like being fully at peace with and fully accepting and at the highest level in kind of full surrender to what's so, to reality. And to be integrated in that and to feel, like I say, at peace and holistic within that, to me is as good as I know that I can do right now at this point in my life. And, you know, I'm still young, I like to think, at 48, and I'm still learning all the time. And so I'm sure that answer would change. But, you know, and then I think, honestly, just looking back at any interaction that you ever have with anybody and recognizing that you had an open heart during that interaction and brought your full presence to that person and, you know, kind of stay in a state of joy. Like those three things, present-minded, open-heartedness, and joyfulness are three really important things to me. So that would be my long definition of success.
That's awesome. I love that. You know, we get so many different definitions on this show, but I love that what you're talking about is really just, it's about being present. I mean, that's really successful because that's really being the best version of yourself in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And so looking at success, not from a financial perspective or a quantitative perspective, but from just an organic kind of, okay, I was brought to this world to be a good person, to be a, you know, a light to others. And we live in a world, right? You're not a nomad, okay? If you were a nomad, you wouldn't, or a hermit, you wouldn't need to have open-heartedness and maybe the joyfulness you'd probably need to stay alive. But
yeah,
I mean, that's so awesome because it's really, it just brings out a lot about who you are and what you're doing here. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, yeah.
And where can our listeners find you or reach out to you? What's the best way?
Yeah. So investwithgreenlight.com is our landing page. And you can actually book an appointment with me there if you wanted to jam on a Zoom call for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes some afternoon or morning. I'm available on that. And I love hearing from listeners and love being helpful and inspirational however I can be. At this point, I'm not a coach yet. So I've got this urge to contribute. And I love talking to people, and people are taking me up on it all the time now, which is really cool. I get bookings on my calendar from people that I don't know, and then I get to know them, and it's awesome. It's so fun. So take me up on that if you guys are interested.
That's awesome. I enjoy that too. I got the kind of link just floating out there on the internet in many different places. So I get random people, you know, scheduling meetings with me all the time. And, it's great. It's fascinating and always great to meet new people. So please check us out there. Check me out wherever you find me. Check Tate out wherever you find Tate, and investwithgreenlight.com. And thank you so much. It's been a really awesome conversation. I'm really glad we were able to do it.
Yes, it has been. I'm, like I said, perfect way to start a day here in Utah for me and to hang out with you, Yona. It's a real true pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, you have an incredible, amazing rest of your day filled with success in the way that you define it and the way that others define it too, in spiritual and financial and everything in between. And to our listeners, remember, until next time, the best advice comes only when you ask.
Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.